Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Dwayne Patterson is back with us this afternoon. He contributes at hotair.com. He's also the host of the Dwayne's World podcast, has some thoughts about the cabinet picks, which are maybe falling through at this point. Dwayne, happy Thursday. How are you this afternoon?
I'm telling you, Mark, today is such a great day. The only way that this day could go wrong is if Matt Gaetz announced that he is relocating to California to run for governor.
Since that is your state, yeah. I think you're safe there, don't you think?
I'm hoping. I'm really hoping.
You know, I didn't like this one. I think you were in agreement. And one of the things I said is I try to use a standard to a certain extent. If the other side does something as goofy as this and puts up someone like that, I'm going to probably take a really strong stand on my radio show about it. And I still feel like I'm missing something on this one, though, because we all kind of knew it wasn't going to last. So what happened here that I'm missing?
Well, I've got a couple of theories. I mean, of course, nobody knows exactly why. And to his credit, I will say about Matt Gaetz is the statement he made, whether he wrote it himself or somebody, offered it for him. But the statement he gave was actually a good statement. You know, upon consideration, we don't have time to waste at the DOJ. We've got to get somebody in there on day one. And if I'm going to be a distraction and delay that work, it's probably best that I not be in consideration. That's actually the right call to make. But as far as two different theories of what happened, J.D. Vance went to the Senate yesterday, and independent of some of the proposed nominees that were doing their Sherpa meetings, talking to different senators to kind of get a sense of what's going on, J.D. Vance went to the Senate and kind of took the temperature from what I can discern. And once he kind of figured out that there just were not going to be the votes for Matt Gaetz, he probably reported back to the president or the president-elect. And once he told Donald Trump that it was probably not going to happen, it wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump gave him a call and said, okay, well, you know, we tried, but it ain't going to happen.
Right.
And that was the end of it. The other theory is Gaetz himself went up in the Hill and tried to go through the motions as well. And he's got four hard no's against him. And you can say what you want about the four and where they come down on it. But my guess is if you've got four hard no's, there's probably 25 of them that were being forced to walk the plank that are really relieved at those four for taking the stand that they did so they don't have to walk the plank.
Yeah, I think it was a combo deal a little bit. I think certainly J.D. Vance is going to be very valuable in that role from a variety of perspectives, not only, doing a little recon as far as where the votes are, even though he's not responsible as John Barrasso will be to whip up those votes, but he can easily take the temperature and he knows these guys so well. He's got great relationships. But I do think that Matt Gaetz went up there and, determined himself that this was not going to go the way they had hoped, and maybe it was a joint decision between the president, the administration, and Matt Gaetz.
So worst case scenario, if you're Matt Gaetz, is you resign from Congress. The report doesn't ever get released. It's still kind of bottled up in the in-house ethics. So if it's not going to go public and he doesn't go back into Congress, even though he just technically won re-election, if he chooses not to go back in, then what he really wanted to do, what his game plan was to run for Florida governor in 2 years when Ron DeSantis is done. That was always his plan. Now, I think he'd be a horrible candidate for governor of Florida. I'm not a big fan of Matt Gaetz, but I think that's what his calculation was. And the one thing about Matt Gaetz is he's not a Trump loyalist. Matt Gaetz is a Matt Gaetz loyalist. And if that's the direction he wanted to go, you know, at the end of the day, he doesn't have this report out there that's against him at this point. There's no evidence against him at this point. So he can kind of lick his wounds for a couple of years and then try to
figure it out from there. Right.
For governor.
Absolutely. Right. Now, let's. I woke up this morning to this report in the LA Times and elsewhere, and I did, you know, immediately look at the police report from Pete Hegseth. And, you know, there's a couple of what I said at the intro of the show during the monologue, Dwayne, is there's a couple of different, you know, issues here. One is the incident itself that happened in 2017 that I still think have some doubts about the veracity and the entire truth. But maybe more importantly, there seems to be an indication, you probably have some good sourcing on this, that they were not, Pete was not exactly honest with the Trump team when it came to this particular issue.
That's certainly possible. From what I'm getting a lay of the land, Mark Wayne Mullen came out very strongly for him today, and there's been lots of senators that have taken public stands to support him. The one thing about Pete Hegseth going into defense, it's not like he's running for a high position where there is a lot of a legal bar for this, meaning, you know, he's a warrior. He's going in there to do one job. The job he's doing is to basically blow out the, you know, the senior chain of command of the Pentagon and get rid of all the career woke generals and start to elevate from the ranks below and you know, recreate that warrior ethos again. I think that Scott Jennings on CNN probably had it best this week when he said, look, of all the nominees, and there's been 30 that he's picked thus far. And we, of course, we Republicans and regime media, they like to do the same thing. We focus on the ones we think are clunkers. Of the 30 picks, you can almost you can pick three or four that are really the ones that are questionable. The rest are going to sail through, and many of the rest of them are home run picks. I'm warming up to the Pete Hegseth thing. I think he'd actually do a pretty good job. I was skeptical at first, but if you actually look at what he says he's going to do and what he wrote in his book, he knows exactly what has to be done at that agency. Now he's going to have to comport himself in a confirmation hearing. But I think the way Scott Jennings framed it is Matt Gaetz was the only one of the bunch that had to play his way in, meaning he's the only one that fell below the bar of confirmation going into the process. Everybody else probably would get confirmed unless they tank their own hearing and they played themselves out of the game.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I do, but here's the problem with that is if you read, and again, I don't know what the truth is. I'm not saying that I know what the truth is. The police report is very damning, and he's going to be asked about a lot of gruesome, you know, details of that. So I don't know how you come out of that in a good way. And it's unfortunate for Pete if the whole thing was just a money grab on the part of the woman, which is certainly a possibility. That's what his side says. You know, they signed an NDA. I don't know if we'll ever know what the truth is. What I do know is I read the whole police report, and it's not a good look if some of that is true.
It is not a good look, and it will definitely go to a confirmation hearing. I don't think he will pull himself out of contention unless he gets the same reaction from four senators, and he knows it's a doom pick going in. Matt Gaetz knew that Lisa Murkowski, the new senator from Utah, John—I forget his last name. There's the guy that replaced Mitt Romney.
Yeah. I've heard his name too.
And Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, the Utah senator, and Mitch McConnell were all going to come out against him. But I promise you, they weren't going to be the only four. And both J.D. Vance and Matt Gaetz heard that. With regards to Pete Hegseth, I really don't know if there are four votes against him right now. It could develop if this story continues to kind of get worse. And he doesn't have a good answer for it in a confirmation hearing. But barring that, I think Trump's going to get deference. I think this, if there's a scalp that the left is going to be able to claim, it's the Matt Gaetz scalp.
What did you make of Bathroomgate this week?
I think that was actually kind of pretty remarkable. It's such a silly story all the way around, but it's such an important one in the overall scheme of things. I talked to your former senator, Jim Talent, who's a really good friend of mine on the podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Jim's an old friend. I've known him for years and years and years. And he gave a really extemporaneous explanation about how 100 years ago there were no women's bathrooms in public. And one of the reasons why there was the fight to put women's bathrooms in public was because women have a unique set of needs being out in public when they have to use the restroom in private for obvious reasons. And by putting women's restrooms in public next to men's rooms, it gave women the ability to make it easier to be more prevalent and able to be part of public life more. And by doing this, there's no biological need for this member of Congress coming in from Delaware to have any special bathroom privileges on his or her own. There's just no biological need for it. I like the counter that was offered, which is, okay, let's have Democratic men's and women's rooms and Republican men's and women's rooms.
Yeah, and see which Democrats are comfortable having a biological male
in the restrooms. Exactly right. Republican caucus make up the rules for their bathrooms, and let the Democrats make up the rules for their bathrooms.
I do think that the congressperson from Delaware made the right choice and said, look, I'm going to follow the rules. Let's move forward and, you know, be done with it, because I do think there's more important things. I'd love to get your thoughts on some of the Doge stuff, but I'm out of time. I got to cover Jussie Smollett and that nonsense this afternoon, Dwayne.
Oh, good luck.
I know, right? Hey, have a great day.
This day got even better. I got spared Jussie Smollett. Oh, yeah. This day gets better and better.
Thanks a lot. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. We will talk soon.
Thanks,
we'll
Mark.
See you. Bye.